Yes, is my wife. Almost 3 years. He's been taking care of it. Sometimes I think that she did something wrong because get me hurt, but I think I did something good because, you know, I had her. So now the drive home will be a lot better. No, I mean it sincerely. But we have some great memories. I tell you what, I don't know if you guys realize, we lived here 3 years, 95 to 98. We lived here. And those 3 years as a family, we came with two children. We went back with three. And then we had another gift daughter when we were in Atlanta. And as a family, we learned. We moved here. We didn't know a lot of people. And we learned how to kind of live together and get our identity as a family. We have some rich memories being here, and many of you contributed to our lives in very many ways. I heard Steve give the announcement for the Christmas program. Did you know that at one of the Christmas programs, one of the duets was Mike Hummer and Pat Canty? Yeah. Yeah, you think those people in the room are really doing that? That was quite a number. Didn't say it was great. And so it's good to be here. We want to hear the word of God today, and I'm going to present to you this morning God's word. I love the word. I love reading the word. And I hope that each of you fall in love with the word of God. That the scriptures should change our lives, that they should encourage us. We should have an appetite for the word of God. We have so many things in this world craving our appetite. And yet, sometimes we put it to the side. Turn the date or scroll to or do whatever you need to do to get to Hebrews chapter 5. I want to give you a quick background of Hebrews and its unique place in the New Testament. We have the four gospels. We have the Acts of the Apostles, which gives us the beginnings of the New Testament church. We have a lot of reading from Paul and the letters from Peter and James and Jude, and we have the Revelation of Jesus Christ written by John. And we get to this book, Hebrews, which is an interesting book. Now, the Bible came different sections through the course of Pilate. Your Bible tells my final call in this movie. What should I do with him? And the problem of Jews yelling, crucified. And so Jesus is crucified, and he is buried and raised from the dead triumphantly. And we find in the book in chapter 1 that there are 120 people in the room. And this is the beginning of the New Testament church. Now we read in the Bible that multitudes of people follow Jesus, and yet at this point there's a family of people. So basically, thousands of people unfollowed him. Okay, today. And so, something exciting happens in chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to the New Testament church. And a gentleman named Peter preaches a message. And in chapter 2, verse 32, 3,000 men would say, "Now, this is God's word." Because one of the cool things in the scripture you will see is that when they have saved, everybody has. You know, you see this general 16 where he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and he saved. So there's a lot of people that is a predominantly Jewish people. So in Matthew 4, we see where 5,000 people believe. And so this Jesus thing, well, which they call the way, is taking root. Now what's happening in the culture here is that they believe Jesus is the Messiah, they've trusted him as the Savior, but they're still going through the ritual. They're still doing both things. And it's confusing to them. You know, you ever try to do something new and you're not doing the old way you're doing, we change the location of the trash can. Okay? We got a different trash can for someone who's going to be on that. So we had the trash can that we could take underneath the cabin. And so when we took it away, we did the thing, but we put it in the trash can. We moved it. So for me, I ended up going over here. And you have to get to the point where you knew, okay, that's where the government is, it's not under here anymore. Well, that's what's trivial to me, but think of the people who are going to be you have to do the thing. You have to do the learning in this room, you share the greatest thing to talk about, just the learning of the law, what it requires. And then over and over again, they did it to come to you and come to the priest and come to the temple and everything that was required for them by the law. And the priest said, no, you don't need to do that anymore. So they were fulfilling with the lifestyle. And so we get to the book of Hebrews in the Bible. The author of the movie, and then he asked them more than that. Hebrews written in the time when Jewish Christians were having to test their commitment to this new way, the new covenant where Jesus Christ is preeminent. The temple of not yet been destroyed in Rome is still the place of writing between 33 AD and 70 AD to the good conclusion. These Jewish Christians are subject to persecution and are drifting away from their choices, policies, and principles. And leave behind the law and its oppressive requirements. One writer puts it this way, they've begun to drift down and have become dull appearing. This is what's going on with them. As persecution begins, I'm worried that this might not be the way. Have your circumstances, the issues of your world, caused you to drift down? Is it hard to keep the things of the Lord? This message is for you today. Because we don't need to drift. We don't need to doubt. The theme of Hebrews is Jesus is better. Tell me, Jesus is better.
Jesus is better.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You believe it. Hebrews 1 and 2, Jesus is better than the angels. Hebrews 3 and 4, Jesus is better than Moses and the other prophets. Hebrews 4 and 7, Jesus is the great high priest. Hebrews 8, Jesus has a better time. Hebrews 9, Jesus has a better time. Hebrews 10, 12, faith and endurance. And then he closes it off and encourages them again. 6 with it, Jesus is better. So more normal verses of scripture in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 3, verse 4, for every house is built in its own movement, but he who builds all things is God. Hebrews 4, 12, for the word of God is living and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is an adornment of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 1:1, the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 1:6, for without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who trusts in God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 12:4, therefore, and the people need. Hebrews 12:39, for our God is the same. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and Jesus is better. Amen? With all this, meet me at chapter. Hebrews 5:1-14, I'm reading the New King James Version. For every high priest taken from the men is appointed for men to take things to God, and he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, and he himself is also subject to weakening. Because this is required for the people, so also for himself to offer sacrifices for his Lord. And no one takes this honor to himself, but he was called by God. Let this Aaron walk. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become a man. But it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also said in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Verse 7. Who in the day of the Lord, and all his prayers and supplication, would be in his pride and appeared to him, was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he was obedient by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of his salvation to all who obeyed him. So by God as high priest according to the word of Melchizedek. Verse 11. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become no fear. For those you ought to be teachers need someone to teach you again the first principles of the marvel. And you have come to be gentle of food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is skilled in the word of righteousness, for he is of age. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those by reading youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 6, 1 to 9. Therefore, leaving the instruction of the three principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying down the foundation of repentance and dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on the hands, the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will do God. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God, the power of the age to come, if they fall away to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves and put into the open sand. So the earth which drinks in the rain and often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears no harm from you, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this form. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for opening the scriptures to us. Lord, I pray now that as we present it, that I will be grieved and you will grieve. And the words of my mouth and the meditation will be Father, so convict us in a way that when we leave here, we will be changed people, ready to make a difference and live for you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some of you are familiar with the Charles Dickens novel, Oliver. I didn't read the book. By all means. And it's all a click. And it's all a click. And, you know, it begins in the early 19th century London, where Orphans are walking on a mill. They're milling this food, this grain. And the first thing in the book is God's love is on the wall. And if you see it, you can watch it. It's an interesting story. It's about poverty in London and Barclay. The ones around this young man, Oliver Smith, who ends up where he is part of a family where he has to raise his children and he works at them. And so they are walking through the beginning and they begin to say, glorious. You know, I'm sure you've heard it. But they're coming to them and they're going to eat the horrible gruel that they call it. It's like really bad oatmeal. And the oatmeal is bad. But I guess again. So they're eating this gruel, they're walking, they look and then see the cookies, and the people that start eating these wonderful turkeys and ham and all of this food, and it's going to become glorious. It's what they like. And so they're looking to get this, but no, they don't get it. So they end up in the great big auditorium, and they're sitting there and they're about to eat the gruel. Somebody gets back to the gruel that they're about to eat, and they whip it in. And they sit there, and at a table with Oliver, they pull straws, and Oliver gets the long straw, and they tell Oliver, "We want you to go or more. Yes. Now, one thing is, we want more. And so Oliver gets out and very slow and dramatically, he walks all the way. And he gets to the front, and the gentleman, Mr. Bumble, at the front, looks at him, and they're wondering, why is this man here? And in a very gentle English voice, he says, please, I want more. And they, no, never before. And they break into song again. The question to you today is, do you want more? Is there more that you want about Jesus? You know, that a believer can only handle the three things of faith. Even the more difficult aspect of the Christian walk that reflects a change in attitude, near I'd say maturity, he called solid food. He determined that they were not yet at a point to consume solid food, or some call it meat. Solid is one fact about milk. Milk is a pre-digested food. And that's why babies can drink it. Because all of the enzymes and everything that have been brought together where they can consume it pretty quickly. Solid food requires you to eat it and then digest it. Not only to eat it, you need teeth to eat it. It has to be broken down, it has to get into your system, and it has to make a journey to you. The word of God is that. The word of God is that we need to try it, we need to digest it, we need to take it in. And where the things that we need to keep, we keep, and the things that we don't need to keep, we get through. That's what we've been created, carefully and wonderfully made. You know, my daughters are foodies. So my daughters would go on and say, Dad, we can eat. Let's go try this type of food. Let's see how hot is it. My son's on the other side. It's fuel. It and eat. You know, you say the prayer and Jesus says, amen. It's good. And yes, they're in their lives, they digested it. That is, you have people here who are doubting, the people who are worried about what's going to happen. and the writer of Hebrews. He's the one. The Jewish person is the one that is the creed. Have you ever thought of doing a song where all of a sudden you realize this is a clue about this guitar? And some of you remember when you start talking about this guy and what he does. You know, people are like, you know, awesome Thursday, I miss him. But like, you can see it, right? You can see him on his glass door. I think that's where he was. He's talking to them about Melchizedek. And what he hears is really cool is that he stops. He challenges them. And we don't have to look at him, but when he gets to chapter 7, he comes back to talk to them and makes it plain to them. And so he's encouraging them. He's saying, listen, you need more. You need more so that you can understand what I'm telling you about this Jesus. Verse 11, before we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For those at this time, you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. The first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. And he says, for everyone who partakes only of his own feelings and word of righteousness, for he is the babe. The solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He basically is telling them you need more spiritual food, more moments of victory, more godly insight. Ephesians 4, 14 to 15 reads this way. That we should no longer be children, talked to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotters, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him who is the head of Christ. He says, you need more. We need to have bigger conversations. We need to have deeper conversations. We need to walk through some conversations. The topic of who Jesus is the most important thing. Have you ever had a negative evaluation? In a song, you like experience, you like education, you like people too. Did it inspire you or did it enrage you? Did you make changes? Did you get better? You know, I think about a lot of young people. They get challenges in high school. You know, they want to be part of a basketball team, cheerleading team, football team, and there's that day where they get cut. Not good enough. Somebody else is better than they are. And it's a moment in your life where you either deal with the truth that maybe that person is better, or you can take that moment and go, everybody doesn't like me. And the writer is saying here to them, he says, I've evaluated you and you need more. Now the writer, here's what's interesting. And let me also suggest to you, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews is, but they do. They do, which is pretty special. The writer understands the statements like these, you know, to work people. And so 11 times in this letter, he includes me. Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:22-25, let us with a true heart, and full assurance of faith, having your hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to are loving the word, not forsaking the assembly together, but ignoring so much more as we see the day approaching. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12, 28 to 29, Hebrews 13, 13 to 15, all of these, he's saying, let us. He's not pointing fingers at them. He's saying, we are together in this. We need to push forward. We need to learn more about who Jesus is. This is not a you thing, not a me thing. This is a we. So, we jump to the end of the passage of verse 14. A great benefit comes in doing this. Verse 14 reads this way. But some of whom belong to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason you have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I have told you, arrogantly, taste is sensitive, smell is clear, touch is alert. This is what happens to us when we grow up to believe. That we have the ability now to make our decisions, to understand what God is doing. Let me read that verse for you in two other translations. And the Tennessee is reading for you. But some of you belong to those who are afflicted. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5, 14, Solitude is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And solitude is for the mature who are trained to distinguish good, to distinguish good from evil. We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. We, some of the greater joy we had as parents, we're watching our two sons play football. Freddie played high school football, college football, and he had a quick tryout with the Falcons, and that's where it went. And MJ played as a linebacker for LaGrange College. And then became a football man. He understood the game. He became a coach. But, you know, Ray Cole would tell me that he said, Dad, football is not a contact. It's a collision. He played on the D-line. He said, every play was a fire. Now, picture this. Picture him working on it, running laps, lifting weights in the weight room. The day of the game comes, and they have no picture from it, and they're about to see. You need more time to look there. Because the reason football is not a possible sport worldwide is because it's costly. It's not all of this equipment. When we were coached in high school, one of the coaches, they were getting these special knee braces. And the knee braces were like 15. And so I said to the coach, when he was like, coach, do you really need knee braces? And he's like, they want the knee to be protected. And so we invested in these knee braces. Why? Because we understood the danger that was involved in this game. And I love the sport of football because I think it made them, I think it taught them all through the sport. But they would have been injured if they were not protected and prepared to play this game. And he quit. To play this game. The writer of Hebrews is saying, equip yourself in life. Equip yourself to understand that the persecution that's coming, that the things that are around you, that Jesus is in control, he's going to take care of. Get to the point where we can talk about the deeper things of who he is, so that you are able to move forward and the fear that keeps coming up and down that you will not forget. Right in the fear, I decided that I turned 16, and so I was very reflective. Very thankful to God for a lot of what we've done. But I determined that I needed to get back into it. You know, I felt there was a little more of me that needed to be. And so, okay. You some of you have been a gentleman here. And so anyway, we decided there's a new gym that opened near our house, brand new equipment. And we went there, and then the membership, you know, it was very affordable. And one thing that me says we have to do an evaluation of people before you start this journey. And so I was like, you know what, I'm getting this number. This time I'll let you pay the money and put the thing here in the number. The thing was like, and so we went to this evaluation and we went to the neighborhood in 36, and we were walking to the area where we to do this. And he said to me, well, what would we be like, please, not to plug in the operation. And he says, me too. He said, I just want a mission. He said, you're a believer? And he was like, yeah. And so, he takes me through the evaluation and he asked me to do a particular exercise, and I couldn't do it. And I said to myself, what did I get here? How do I do this? And I mean, I want to do this. He said, do you want to find out the personal brand? Absolutely. And you know, they go to me, and I was frustrated, and I just don't know what I can afford to do this. It was, I can't afford to do this. And so I told him, let's do it for a year. Working on it. There were moments where he said to me, Mike, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. You need to. But through the journey, there were things where he said, you need to do more. So there were days where I was like, we just at least I know what you can afford to do. And so we had the process of and I've been able to look at this experience and say that only you will understand the real benefit of doing more and knowing more of God. And it will be a blessing to you. But the Word of God, when you sit down and read it, and you start to understand the connection between the Old Testament and the New as one of the believer, and you get that joy from reading the Word of God, you see the one benefit. And if you benefit, then the Lord will benefit. And so, we want to encourage you this morning that this is something that we need to do. Hebrews chapter 10, 23, 23, this way. Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. For he who promised the faith, and let us consider one another in order to serve love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as we communicate. But exhorting you to come more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming again. Amen? He's coming back. It could be today. But until he comes back, as a church, let's be committed to knowing more about him. Let's really own the fact that Jesus is better. You have an easy way to share the gospel with people. And it's not as you're telling them, you're bullying them, your experience that you share with them. It's a completely different people. What you share the gospel with someone, tell your story. You know? Don't be too preachy. Tell your story. This is where I belong. This is how I met Jesus. This is what he's doing in my life. He's better. Yeah, but what about this? Let me introduce you. Let me let you know that he is now here in the room. And guess what? He's in intercession for me. He's saying to the Father, no, this one's not me. This one's mine. Let's do this. Remember,
He said, "Little that they need." I'm afraid he took away what he loved us so much. When you identify with him, when you desire to know more about him, he is going to, he is still you more. There's a hymn in a very precious hymn. And the words of the hymn are this. I'm going to read this for you in closing. It says, "More about Jesus than we know. More of his grace than others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me." Verse 2, "More about Jesus let me learn. More of his holy will deserve. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to be, to me. More about Jesus than his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine." The last word to Jesus for you. More about Jesus on his throne. Riches in glory, all his own. More of his kingdom, sure increase. More of his coming, Prince of Peace. Each and every day, be committed to knowing more. Why? Because, well, let's take two. We gotta end with it. Be committed. Why? Because, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you that, Lord, once again, you have shown us that you are God. Lord, you were obedient and you stayed on that cross. The cross of shame, the cross of pain. And Lord, you died for us. And in the world where there's so many distractions, Lord, of things that entertain and things that people say are better, Lord, show us each day that you are better. Lord, give us an appetite for your word. Give us an appetite to be with your people. Lord, help us to know that you are working all things for the good to those who love you. Lord, that, Father, we will be focused on the things that matter. Lord, help us to share with others who are lost, who've never heard the gospel. Lord, may we be those instruments of peace and love, and may people's hearts be turned to you, capture their hearts, Lord. Father, we thank you for Fairbrook Bible Chapel. We thank you for this podium, Lord, where the Word of God is preached. And Lord, we pray that you continue to bless this assembly of your people. And Lord, if you be not come, where we all are brought together in glory, continue, Lord, to just cause that it will be a blessing to this community. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you and thank you.